I had early challenges from the get-go saying, this is never going to work.
It's a new world for business.
It was quite daunting.
A world that's changing every day.
It's quite a harsh term.
And to survive, businesses are encouraged to boldly embrace new technologies, new business models, and new ideas.
To this day, it's one of the most solid things I've done.
Bold Businesses, a podcast series about the bold embracing the new.
I wish I had that back then.
Powered by Vodafone.
It doesn't matter where you're operating your business or at what scale. Relationships are everything, whether it's your staff, your suppliers, or your customers. One of the most frequent things I hear from small businesses is that at the end of the day, it's the people who will determine whether you struggle or succeed. And this only becomes more important when you move your business to a new market, particularly to China. I'm Cara Waters, small business editor for The Age and Sydney Morning Herald. And this is the Bold Businesses podcast, powered by Vodafone. Today, we're looking at operating a business across Australia and China. We'll be getting a little help later on from international business expert Giovanni De Laeto. But first, we're going to hear the story of Abacus Finance and its director, Kelly Lamb. Kelly started out as a fashion designer before making an unexpected turn into the world of finance. But for the time being, she's busy being one of the country's top-rated female mortgage brokers. Since entering the world of finance, Kelly Lamb has taken a home loans and wealth management business, Abacus Finance, to major Australian and Chinese cities. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Cara.
Before you started Abacus Finance, your background was actually in fashion. How did you make that leap from, it's not particularly common, from fashion to finance?
I've got opportunity offered to try the mortgage industry. So I thought I'll give it a go because I will always go back to fashion design. And then after a few months later, the boss offered me, hey, do you want to take over my business? I'm going somewhere else. I'm like, okay, all right. Pretty much didn't have a choice really because I like to help people. So I started to take over the whole thing. And realize that's actually commercial lease agreement I'm taking over. So there's a lot of liability I'm taking over. And I realized I didn't have a license as well. So then we close the door, get a license. So started from then onward, actually never really been giving up until now.
So you're really thrown in the deep end. Definitely. It's an unusual way to get a start in business.
Yeah.
Are there any similarities in how you view the two industries, finance and fashion? Was there anything, you know, from your fashion background that's helped you with Abacus?
So I think one of the elements, the passion, that whatever you do, if you really have a love and enjoy what you're doing, that's really get you go further and further. Mm-hmm. And the other one that I can relate it to is probably more of the not have too much boundary to do things. So be creative about what you can do and try and explore. But other than that, the colour and the number doesn't really relate.
Yes. You started off with one store. Is that the best way to describe it? A store? Or?
Yeah, yeah. It's a retail office right opposite of Liverpool Station.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the business, 70% of the clients are all local Aussies. Only 20% is referred by Asian Chinese.
And how long did it take from first finding your feet to starting to really grow the business? And how did you do that?
I think in that 3 years really got me survive because the lease was 3 years.
Yeah.
So as soon as the lease finishes, I downsized the smaller office. At that time, this office probably about 300 square meter, and it's only got me and one assistant.
Wow.
So that's why it was difficult for mm-hmm. that few years. And then we start to have Asian clients to refer to us, need more help, more education of the local information. So we moved to Hirschfeld. So first thing I've done was cut down the cost of the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Then we grow from Hirschfeld, then we go to the city. Things get to a little bit busier, and that's how we started to grow.
And you've now expanded to offices in Melbourne, offices in Canberra, and just opened your first office in Beijing. Let's talk through, first of all, expanding to throughout Australia. How did that come about?
I recruited a really experienced general manager. He helped me to establish all this together. So we've done training and stuff like that. So we basically through social media to recruit people. the Asian community. So we recruit them and then we give them training.
And how many staff do you have now?
We are just under 50 at the moment, probably 20 to 30-ish is mortgage brokers. Some is internships, some have fully licensed and everything.
And that's a bit of a change from it just being you and your assistant sitting alone in your big office at the start. How do you go about managing a team of that size?
To be honest, I actually think I'm a really good consultant or salesperson. Mm-hmm. From an individual salesperson or mortgage broker turn into actual management, it's really, really different to what I used to imagine as a mortgage broker. I just thought, you just watch me do it, and that's simple. And a lot of things that you think you're common sense, but to your staff, it's actually not. They haven't been through what you've been through. But I didn't have the patience, as sales is always go, 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 you know, not much of time. It's 5-6 years ago, I started to learn what is called really management. Mm-hmm. So then from that onward, be a mortgage broker, be the top 10 in Australia in 2014, that time in MPA magazine.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that was an achievement as an individual. Mm-hmm. But you'll find there's a huge challenge in there that you're helping your staff as an individual to achieve their own goal. So now I'm actually still a long, long way to learn how to improve my management skill, create a great environment, unleash their potential, let them learn and grow.
The really exciting thing that you've done is you've just opened an office in Beijing.
Yes.
So that's something a lot of Australian businesses think about doing or dream about doing. How did that all come about?
For anyone listening, just have to start something. I failed a few times already. I've had an office in Guangzhou and that wasn't successful. I have to close it down. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to find the right person to be there, because you're not there every day. You need to have the right person.
People say that it's really the staff that you've got on the ground is very key.
Exactly. So I was quite fortunate that there's a graduate student in Australia. She's happened to be from Beijing in Chinese. Mm-hmm. And she really liked our business model. And she wanted to help me to expand it in Beijing. So I've got someone permanent resident, actually, like the Aussie grew up child, but Chinese background, mm-hmm. going to China, that opened a branch in Beijing for me.
And your background is you actually grew up in Hong Kong, yes, rather than in China. So China's a whole new market for you as well. Were there any unexpected hurdles in particular trying to establish a business there?
Yes, the biggest challenge, even though I opened an office in Guangzhou before, and when I go to Beijing, it's a totally different story. Mm-hmm. So what I find the biggest difference from here to China is there's no really a set rule, mm-hmm. that you always have to learn every step. And every time you do things, even the same thing, it could be a different rule again. Say, for example, I open an office in Sydney and Melbourne, we have Australian standard government. So we will know which accountant to go, the ASIC, you know, different body you will know. Mm-hmm. But in China, there's different parts of China and different provinces, there's different way of doing things. And the law could be like big difference as well. So it's quite interesting. The biggest challenge is the people. I believe any trust has to be built together, and any cooperative or how to work together, you need to learn how to build together. So that's why I give lots of freedom for them. And you will find that at the beginning, you cannot really give too much freedom when they don't know what to do.
So you've got offices in Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra, and now Beijing, and you've got over 60 staff. What sort of turnover does the business have as well?
At the moment, we're sitting on around 1.5 million turnover to 2 million.
And what's your plans for growing the business further?
At the moment, if it's we're talking about volume settlement, we used to settle about 40 to 50 million a month. Mm-hmm. And then at the moment, we're going back down to about 20-ish. So hopefully in 3 years' time, we can get to 100 million per month.
And how will you go about doing that? You've got the new office in Beijing. Are you looking at opening other offices as well? What's that 3-year plan to get there?
It's not an easy target, to be mm-hmm. honest. But I do believe in our team, in our people. And you'll find out the quality staff, then can achieve the volume much quicker. Then you have like a few hundred people there, and one person only writes one meal a month, and some people doesn't even turn up. So we're trying to see if we can achieve by quality staff, quality training, and our quality investment, like our CRM. We build our own CRM. It's a huge job.
So that's your custom relationship management system? Yeah. So you've got your own one. Wow.
I started the build in 60 years ago, and I don't encourage to build it because I failed so many times. It's extreme distance from fashion to IT.
Yes.
So, but creative side, you wanted to always create something because you do get bored sometimes. So that is a huge path for me, but we're already in there and we already failed so many times. We're so close to it. So then we're building our own to fit into our own culture.
If you started again, you said you probably wouldn't build your own customer relationship management system. Is there anything else you'd do differently if you were starting out again?
Yes, definitely. I think I'll learn to focus much earlier. Since I'm from a different background, and we always like to create new things, the new things actually distract you a lot. So it's the idea that you actually have to let go to focus. Not to have create too many things, but actually there's only one thing called focus to make things work.
Thank you so much for coming in, Kelly, and sharing the story of how you built Abacus Finance with us.
You guys are more than welcome. I hope it helps anyone that is listening.
Thanks,
thank
Kelly.
You. Thank you.
How do you manage your workforce when your business goes from strength to strength? That's the challenge for Kelly Lamb and her business, Abacus Finance. With offices and staff located globally, businesses like Kelly's need tools to help simplify day-to-day operations. On Vodafone's Ready Apps Marketplace, you'll find management software like Deputy to help simplify rostering, timesheets and employee communication. And as a Vodafone customer, you get a personal account manager with just 10 or more connections. To find out more on how Vodafone can help your business, go to vodafone.com.au/business.
ABM required, $300 limit per month, billed monthly by Vodafone, T's and C's apply.
We've been speaking to business owner Kelly Lamb about the opportunities and challenges she has faced while running her finance and mortgage business in both Australia and China. Joining me now is international business and trade law specialist Giovanni De Laeto from Monash University. Giovanni, Kelly has just opened a successful branch of her business in Beijing, but as we heard, she's also experienced challenges moving her business into China. What are your thoughts on this with your personal experience of working in China?
I think that Kelly's example is quite interesting because the office in Beijing has been quite successful, especially because the she found the right person going there. I think it really comes down to who and how you choose the people you work with and they work for you. It's really crucial for new businesses that go overseas to find the right people. And the right people that they can really thrive with autonomy and flexibility, and it really comes down to people, you know, and how they interact with the business environment locally.
Kelly touched on the differences in culture and policy between two regions in China. What should other business owners be conscious of when deciding where and how to move into the Chinese market?
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that China is not one. It's a tale of different cities and countries. And I see at least three different Chinas. And
it's so big, isn't it? I think that was Kelly's experience.
Yeah, not only big in geographically in terms of population, it's really down to different, even legal frameworks and business environments. So you have the major clusters, three, you know, the former special economic zones that, you know, the first was around Shenzhen and then Shanghai and around Tianjin and Beijing, so the north, so the three areas on the coast. Then you have the second tier big cities, and a good example is Chengdu, the capital of Sichuan, so which also has grown to be a new financial and services hub in central west China. So these are cities that now are close to 10 million people living there. So it's half the population of Australia nearly.
Yeah.
So just cities
and half of
that,
them most of us haven't heard of.
People have never heard of, you know, unless you go there and then you see that, wow, that's massive and sheer and very modern and really advanced in a way. And then you have the far west, literally the far west, in the west and north of the country, where there are still untapped natural resources and human resources as well, and where still it's quite behind in a way. But, you know, these being behind also shows that China still has some significant room for improvement and business development.
Do you have any advice for business owners wanting to expand and operate internationally?
I think go on the field. Just go. Go, you do your homework in person and try to understand who you can work with. So you need a strong partner. So like Kelly's example is, I think, quite significant. So it really comes down, especially in countries like China, you need a strong, good partner. And sometimes, or most of the time, it comes down to developing a good personal relationship. It's not transactional. Sometimes people tend to think, especially of Asians and Chinese business people, as being ruthless and being sharky in a way. I think it's, at least in my experience, it's not at all. We are actually seen by non-Western business people and people in general as the ruthless, transactional type, because we are a bit too much straight to the point and, okay, let's do business and this is it. So we don't really want to be too bothered with personal relationship, what in China they call guanxi, which is central to the way of doing business.
Kelly's conscious of ensuring her Abacus staff are both independent and confident in their roles, whether in Australia or China. What should business owners consider in managing staff across different countries and cultures?
You need someone who's across the cultures. Chinese language has a beautiful term to indicate these kind of people. They're called the huaren, so the people who are across the bridge people. And, you know, you need these kind of people to have a cultural understanding the nuances dealing with people across both cultures.
Thank you to Giovanni Di Laiato, and a big thank you to Kelly Lam from Abacus Finance for letting us see the world of finance like a beautiful piece of fabric. In our next episode, we'll hear how an idea formed in a Byron Bay nightclub, which must be where all the great business ideas start, has since taken its founder around the world with a business turning over just shy of $100 million. I'm Cara Waters, and this has been the Bold Businesses Podcast, powered by Vodafone.